You are listening to the Audio Information Network of Colorado. This recording is intended to be used solely by individuals with barriers to print.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for the February 23, 2022 reading of the Environment Program. My name is Karen Wheeler, and today we will be reading the following main articles. Noise Pollution, Wildfires, Top UN Report on Emerging Environmental Threats, written by Chelsea Harvey for Scientific American Online. Then some news items from the Center for Biological Diversity, including Court upholds protections for California's western Joshua trees, rare plant in South Texas, Mexico, proposed for endangered species protection. And, of course, if we have time, following up with miscellaneous articles. First up, Noise Pollution, Wildfires, Top UN Report on Emerging Environmental Threats. Climate-driven mismatches in the life cycles of plants and animals were also cited as a major concern. By Chelsea Harvey. Urban noise pollution is getting worse, wildfires are growing more severe, and climate change is disrupting the timing of natural events and the life cycles of plants and animals all over the world. These are the major threats highlighted in a new United Nations report on emerging environmental concerns. The report, released last week, is the latest in an ongoing series that began in 2016. Previous installments have warned of the growing problems of zoonotic diseases, microplastics, drug-resistant microbes, environmental displacement, and climate migration, the fragmentation of natural landscapes, and the thawing of permafrost. Some of these issues aren't new. Scientists have been sounding the alarm about them for years. Still, the reports typically highlight problems that appear to be steadily worsening over time. They also present science-backed ideas on how to address them. The new report underscores the emerging consequences of climate change and the importance of swift action to address it. A growing mismatch in the timing of natural events is one major concern. As temperatures rise around the world, many natural ecosystems are getting out of sync. Certain animal species are beginning to migrate earlier or later than they used to in an attempt to adapt to earlier springs or warmer winters. Some plants are blooming earlier in the spring than they used to. Crops are growing at different rates or at different times in the season. Animals are moving into new parts of the world. The problem is that many plant and animal species have closely evolved to depend on one another. And if one species adapts to climate change in a different way or at a different pace than another, it can cause cascading consequences for both species and for the ecosystem as a whole. For instance, many flowering plants depend on insects for pollination. Some plants are now blooming sooner in the year, but if the bees and butterflies they depend on don't also emerge early in the season, the two organisms can get out of sync. That's bad news for the plants, which rely on pollination for reproduction, and it's bad for the insects, which rely on the plants for food. These kinds of mismatches are also a threat to human societies. They can lead to agricultural disasters if crops fail to thrive in their changing environments, and they can cause declines in fisheries as well. The solutions for these mismatches are limited, the report warns. Conservationists can target some struggling species or imperiled ecosystems for more protections, but addressing the overarching problem of climate change is the only true solution. preserving the integrity of functioning biological diversity, ending habitat destruction, and pursuing ecosystem restoration will bolster the natural systems upon which we depend, the report states. However, without continued efforts to drastically reduce greenhouse gas emissions, these conservation measures will only delay the loss of those essential ecosystem services. The growing severity of wildfires is another major topic raised in the report. Each year, more than 1.5 million square miles of land are burned by wildfires around the world. About two-thirds of the burned area typically occurs on the African continent. Still, the blazes are worsening in many regions, from the boreal forests of North America to the Australian bush to the tropical rainforests of South America. The exact factors contributing to worsening wildfires differ from region to region. In places like the Amazon rainforest or the tropical forests of Indonesia, for instance, deforestation, often to make way for agricultural development, is a major factor. Burning is often used to clear the land for farming. Still, climate change can be a unifying factor. In regions around the globe, rising temperatures and the increasing risk of drought are worsening the risk of fire weather, the dry, windy conditions that prime a landscape for a major inferno. The growing severity of wildfires is a major threat to both human societies and natural ecosystems. Their potential to cause death, destruction, and displacement is intensifying. Wildfires also produce massive volumes of air pollution, sometimes capable of drifting across entire continents or oceans. Smoke from wildfires in western North America last summer, for example, drifted across the continent to produce haze in New York. At the same time, it can take years for natural ecosystems to recover from severe fires. If more fires occur during the recovery period, or other environmental disturbances like droughts, some landscapes may be permanently altered. With wildfires, addressing the root problem of climate change is a primary solution. Still, wildfires are complicated events that can be affected by other human-caused factors as well. Addressing root problems like deforestation or improving fire management techniques in vulnerable areas can also go a long way. In the meantime, fire managers can also lobby for increased firefighting resources, and they can work for better community involvement in planning and strategizing, including engaging with indigenous communities about fire management techniques. The new report also highlights some of the less visible consequences of increasing urbanization. Noise pollution, it notes, is a growing public health threat. It's not just that noise is annoying for city dwellers. The stress and sleep disturbance it causes can increase the risk of poor mental health, heart disease, diabetes, and other adverse health outcomes. One recent report from the European Environment Agency estimates that long-term exposure to environmental noise causes around 12,000 premature deaths and 48,000 new cases of ischemic heart disease each year in Europe. To combat noise pollution, the report adds, urban planners can consider solutions like implementing traffic restrictions, planting more trees, or installing more green spaces, which help buffer against the urban soundscape. Some of these same solutions have overlapping environmental benefits. Restricting traffic and installing more green spaces are often proposed as means to improve local air quality, reduce carbon emissions, and lower urban temperatures, increasingly relevant considerations as our world warms. And now some news items from the current Center for Biological Diversity newsletter. Court upholds protections for California's western Joshua trees. Judge rejects effort to strip State Endangered Species Act safeguards from the Center for Biological Diversity newsletter. A Fresno County Superior Court judge last week rejected an effort by construction and real estate interests, along with the city of Hesperia, to strip away legal protections for the imperiled western Joshua tree. Joshua trees and their fragile desert ecosystem just scored a huge victory, said Brendan Cummings, the Center for Biological Diversity's conservation director and a Joshua tree resident. Before state protections took effect, developers were bulldozing Joshua trees by the thousands to build roads, power lines, strip malls, and vacation rentals. If these beautiful plants are to have any hope of surviving in a warming world, we have to stop killing them. Last week's ruling by Judge Christy Culver Capitan upheld current protections for the species. A year ago, the same judge rejected a similar effort to block the state's protective rules from taking effect. In September 2020, the California Fish and Game Commission voted unanimously to grant western Joshua trees candidate status under the California Endangered Species Act, giving them interim legal protections and triggering a status review by the Department of Fish and Wildlife. The department's status review will be made public in April, and the commission is scheduled to make a final decision in June about whether to permanently protect the trees or end their current protections. The commission's interim protection decision came in response to a 2019 petition from the Center for Biological Diversity seeking to protect the species in the face of threats from climate change, fire, and development. The growing popularity of Joshua Tree National Park had spurred a building boom in Joshua Tree and adjacent communities, resulting in the widespread removal of the namesake trees to make way for vacation rentals and second homes. A similar construction boom is occurring in Hesperia and adjacent areas where new warehouse projects and other industrial facilities are being proposed in Joshua Tree woodlands. The current state protections make killing Joshua trees illegal without special permits. In October 2020, a coalition opposed to protecting the Joshua tree, including the High Desert Association of Realtors, filed a lawsuit in Fresno County Superior Court seeking to overturn the tree's candidate status. Today's ruling marks an end to that challenge and means the status review and the commission's final protection vote will proceed as scheduled. It's a sad irony that the very real estate agents marketing the iconic beauty of Joshua trees are also leading the charge to kill them, said Cummings. Their lawsuit was misguided, greedy, and thankfully unsuccessful. The lawsuit resolved last week was filed by the California Construction and Industrial Materials Association, California Business Properties Association, California Cattlemen's Association, California Farm Bureau Federation, California Manufacturers and Technology Association, High Desert Association of Realtors, and the City of Hesperia. The center intervened in the lawsuit to defend the commission's decision. If the western Joshua tree wins permanent protection under the California Endangered Species Act, state and local agencies will have to manage threats to them, including developing a recovery plan outlining a strategy to protect the species in the face of climate change and other threats. While the killing of western Joshua trees by developers is the most visible threat, climate change and fire are also pushing the species towards extinction. Recent studies show the trees are dying off because of hotter, drier conditions, with very few younger trees becoming established. In future, prolonged droughts are expected to be more frequent and intense, shrinking the species' range, leading to more tree deaths. Higher elevations, where Joshua trees might survive rising temperatures and drying conditions, are at risk of fire due to invasive, non-native grasses. Approximately 40% of the western Joshua tree's range in California is on private land, with only a tiny fraction protected from development. Without stronger legal protections for the trees, current projections show that virtually all this habitat will be lost. Joshua trees comprise two distinct species: the western Joshua tree, Yucca brevifolia, and the eastern Joshua tree, Yucca jaegerana. The two species occupy different areas of the desert, are genetically and morphologically distinguishable, and have different pollinating moths. Only the western species is currently a candidate under the California Endangered Species Act. Rare plant in South Texas, Mexico, proposed for endangered species protection. Prostrate milkweed will also benefit from 691 acres of critical habitat. Following a lawsuit by the Center for Biological Diversity, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service last week proposed to protect the prostrate milkweed as endangered. Just 24 populations of the plant survive in South Texas and northern Mexico, where they serve up large quantities of nectar for bees and tarantula hawks. The service also proposed to designate 691 acres in 8 units in Zapata and Starr counties, Texas, as critical habitat for the plant. I'm hopeful that Endangered Species Act protection will keep the prostrate milkweed flowering in South Texas for generations to come, said Michael Robinson at the Center for Biological Diversity. This fascinating plant long ago secured a sunny niche in tough landscapes, but it's being driven to the edge of extinction by human development. Federal action is crucial. The prostrate milkweed is imperiled largely because of competition from non-native buffel grass, which is planted as livestock forage and displaces native plants. Moreover, plowing to facilitate conversion of savannas to buffel grass pasture destroys the underground tubers of the prostrate milkweed. Construction and maintenance for roads, utilities, and the oil and gas industry also destroy these plants, and additional border wall construction on the lower Rio Grande National Wildlife Refuge threatens to uproot more of them. Under natural conditions, the prostrate milkweed is able to persist at low densities because it produces so much nectar that far-flying pollinating insects, such as tarantula hawks and large bees, are so revved up after visiting that they can fly farther and pollinate other relatively distant prostrate milkweed populations. But as prostrate milkweed numbers and densities have declined, the plant is also imperiled by lower reproductive success and loss of genetic diversity. Just 24 populations of this milkweed remain in Starr and Zapata counties in Texas and in eastern Nuevo León in Mexico. 19 of those populations are rated in low condition. The remaining 5 are moderate and none are in high condition, indicating acute imperilment. Critical habitat areas are protected from federal actions and funding that would destroy or harm them. Species for which critical habitat have been designated are twice as likely to be trending toward recovery than those without. The Fish and Wildlife Service's proposed rule comes in response to a center lawsuit which seeks to compel the agency to make timely evaluations and protection decisions for 241 plant and animal species trending toward extinction, including the prostrate milkweed and 35 others in Texas. The plant was the subject of a 2007 protection petition by Wild Earth Guardians. The proposed rule starts a 60-day public comment period. The Fish and Wildlife Service must make a final listing and critical habitat decision within 1 year. The prostrate milkweed keeps a low profile. It's not showy, but it's been part of the South Texas grass and shrublands since time immemorial, said Robinson. I'm glad it's going to get help to survive and continue to support pollinating bees and wasps, whose numbers are also declining. The plant's low and sprawling leaves and stem wilt during droughts, but its subterranean tuber stays alive and, after soaking up moisture from occasional storms, sends up stalks with pink and yellow flowers. Vaquitas spur historic trade talks. Following a 2021 request from the Center for Biological Diversity and its partners, U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai has formally asked for consultation with Mexico over critically endangered vaquita porpoises. Mexico's Gulf of California, one of the most biodiverse places on the planet, teems with 891 species of fish and a third of the world's cetacean species, including the smallest and most endangered porpoise on Earth, the vaquita. Illegal fishing in Mexico is driving them extinct. Only about 10 vaquitas remain on Earth. The environmental talks, which could trigger sanctions for Mexico over its failure to enforce conservation laws, will be the first ever held under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. This is a big move that could save these little porpoises from extinction, said the Center of Biological Diversity's Sarah Uhlman. Illegal fishing is out of control in Mexican waters, and vaquitas are paying the ultimate price. The Center for Biological Diversity is a national nonprofit conservation organization with more than 1.7 million members and online activists dedicated to the protection of endangered species and wild places. Thank you for joining us for the Environment Program. This is Karen Wheeler.